It was a shocker moving from Vernon, BC, in my grade 11 year, to that school in Hawaii. I went from a sheltered, private, weird Christian school where I had to wear brown every day. And if I wanted to get up or ask a question, I had to put up a little mini Christian flag. And I would get in trouble for turning around. And from that to the public school system in Hawaii, which was ranked 50th in educational ranking in the States. And the rules, instead of no turning around, no talking, demerits for not wearing brown, were no guns in class, no knives, no drugs. It was a shock to the system, but I was a much better behaved student. Those rules I could keep, the bar was low. But beyond that, what was more difficult, what was more shocking, was the way they talked. They didn't have accents. They had this weird dialect of English called pidgin. One of the first things I learned was that if someone says to you, hey bro, you like beef? The answer is no. Because they're not asking you if you are a vegetarian or if you like meat. Beef means fight. And if you say, yeah, I love beef, it's on with the local kind, and you're going to get into a fight. Eventually, I did pick it up, and there were some things that Hawaiians did really, really well. They knew how to kick back and really enjoy life. They knew how to do that so well. They really knew how to eat well and have outdoor parties. And if you went to a Hawaiian barbecue, you would know what I'm talking about. There was always enough food. And you might know what I'm talking about because Hawaiian barbecues are called luaus, right? Many of you, maybe some of you have been to a luau. Hands up, who's been to a luau? The rest of you need to go. And I got to do this, and it was great with my local kind brothers and sisters. I picked a few lines up. And this is what we did. I prepared a luau with them. We dug a hole, and it was a pretty big, deep hole. And that was maybe the worst part, but we knew what was coming up. And then we took a whole bunch of hot rocks from a fire, and we put them in the bottom of the hole. And they would say they were big rocks, and the Hawaiians would call them makunkine. That means big. You didn't know I knew a second language, did you? And we filled the bottom of the hole with these hot rocks. And then we went and we got some banana leaves. And we didn't go to a store. We just went to a banana tree and cut them down with a machete. And we put these banana leaves on top of the hot rocks. And then the best part, if you're not a vegetarian, was we took a whole pig and we put it in the hole. And then we covered the pig with banana leaves and wrapped it up like a big pig banana burrito. And we covered it up with hot rocks again. And we filled this hole up with dirt and we just let it sit there all day. We had to wait all day while it would cook. But then it was feast time. And we took that pig out. And we took those pieces of meat, and they were so tender, they would just break apart, so juicy, so full of flavor. It was the best meat you could ever dream of. And I will tell you, if you're a vegetarian or vegan, you would become a believer and a convert by eating that meat. And the feast was on. It was a feast with poi, which is this taro root, this kind of pureed up like a paste. I never grew on me, but they liked it. And pineapple and rice and all sorts of things like that. And of course, there was Hawaiian punch. And there was, well, not really. And there was so much food. And the Hawaiians always prided themselves on having too much food at a feast, an abundance, enough to share. There was so much food. They had a saying, and they like to live like this, especially with food. It was to the max. I'd like to say that, to the max. And that feast was to the max. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have been confronted by the person of Jesus and by the good news of the kingdom. Yet, I think there is more for us. There is so much. The gospel is a feast of overabundance of the things of God. And sometimes we think that there isn't that much. That actually the feast doesn't even start till we die. But the gospel of Jesus, the good news of the kingdom, is about an abundance of goodness right now. We often and commonly and maybe mostly have understood the gospel in terms of what happens next, not in terms of what happens now. And I think we need to realize that the gospel message is for right now. It's about abundance. I had a bet with people before, because I've had a cold for a while, how long can I go before I blow my nose? I didn't make it very long, and I'm not going to blow it because that's just gross. But I have an abundance, and I need to use a Kleenex. So today, we're going to spend some time in the Gospel of John, and we're going to look at two verses and bring them to bear on this question. What does it mean for us to live the abundant life of the gospel right now? The scriptures I'm going to read are John 3:16 and John 10:10. I'm going to read them both in the New Living Version. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And this is John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, both of these scriptures are dealing with this concept, overlapping concepts of eternity. And two questions that I have that I think are really important for us as we dig into this in regards to eternity or eternal life are, number one, when is eternity? Number two, what is eternity? So first, when is eternity? When does eternal life start? Does it start when we are born? Does it start when we die? Does it start when we become followers of Jesus? When is eternal life? I think there's a different answer for humans and for God. Because with God, he doesn't have a beginning, and it's part of his character. It's how he's revealed himself, and it's how Jesus revealed himself. If we look back into the very beginning of the book of John, the very first thing John tells us about Jesus is this in John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus always was. God always was. He had no start, no beginning. Jesus was not created. He already existed. So for God, for Jesus, eternity is not bound by a beginning or an end. And that's where we're different from God. That's number two. We are created. We have a starting point. We don't go way back. We have a beginning. And we can think of a point where we did not exist before. It's called our birthday, right? It's a starting point. We had a starting point. Is that where eternity begins? Or does eternity start when we die? Is that when eternity starts? And I think that certainly has been the popular use of the word in Christian circles. it has been assumed that eternity starts when we die. But is that what Jesus meant? Is that what the Bible teaches? Now, I want to look at the language of John 10:10, when John says Jesus came to give a rich and satisfying life. Other translations talk about abundant life, that Jesus came that people may have abundant life. When does abundant life start? Does that start at our birthday? The New Testament speaks of eternal life in humans as beginning when? Not when we die. No. But as the beginning, at the point of new life when we decide to follow Jesus. That's the biblical starting point for eternity. That's when eternity starts. That's when abundant life starts. And that's what all this talk is about in John chapter 3, about birth with this guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, which is a teacher, a powerful Jewish teacher, but maybe a little bit nerdy. And the context of our verse for today is that he got into a discussion with Jesus about the kingdom of God and how to be part of it. And Jesus tells him, you can't be part of God's kingdom, you can't enter it unless you are born again, born a second time. And it puzzled Nicodemus. And yes, I get it. It's puzzling language. It's strange. Born again, born twice, twice born? That's weird. What are you talking about? Jesus explains it. If we look back at verse 15, the verse right before our verse, John 3:15, it's the first mention of the word eternal life in John. And the point of introducing it here is that eternal life is the new kind of life introduced by being born of water and spirit. And it's not the same kind of life, like being born physically. It's not like being born on your birthday. That's one kind of life. This is a different kind of life. And the use of the word eternal is used to distinguish it from the other kind of life. And the point of using this imagery of born again is that he's contrasting born of spirit or spiritual birth with physical birth. And he's saying it's not the same. Nicodemus couldn't grasp that. But being born of spirit is about the birth of new life in us, the birth of something new, the birth of abundance, the beginning of eternal life. Now, John's not the only one in the Bible to talk about new birth. There's lots of scriptures that talk about it. And what I want to point out is in a letter to a guy named Titus. And he's an early church leader, and the Apostle Paul wrote him this letter. This is what it says in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. When does this life start? The new life starts now. It's this life that John is referring to as eternal life. Eternal life starts now when we become reborn and decide to follow Jesus. Eternity? It starts the moment you become a Christian and decide to follow Jesus. That's when eternal life starts. That's undebatable in Scripture. It starts there and then continues on. We're more familiar and maybe more comfortable with the future dimension of eternity, after death. And that's when it blossoms into its fullness with the resurrection of the body. We die physically but are raised again on the last day. So, the next question, when is eternity? Sorry, that's the first question. When is eternity? Eternity is now. It starts with rebirth when we decide to follow Jesus. And our second question is, what is eternity? What is the quality of eternal life? What's it like? So there's the obvious time dimension to the concept of eternity that we dealt with. And usually when we talk about eternal life, we would go to descriptions of heaven, but there's another dimension to eternity that's so important for us and we often miss it. This is the biblical view of eternal life. Eternal life is distinguished from the life of this age not only by its endless duration starting with conversion, but even more significantly by the quality of the existence. There are two words we're going to look at to give insight into this life of abundance. The word life is shared by both John 3:16 and John 10:10, and in Greek the word is zoe. And it's interesting that this word doesn't just talk about life or death, like either there is life or there isn't life. It indicates quality of life. Zoe is about living fully, the great life. And it means the absolute fullness of life. It brings images of activity and enthusiasm. The dictionary meaning of zoe is the state of someone who is possessed with vitality. That's a Greek dictionary, by the way. Over and above and more than you need. It's an abundance. That is about quality of life. And Jesus came to bring that life, that kind of life. And the other word is abundance in John 10:10. And I'm going to read John 10:10 to you this time in the New American Standard so that word pops out for us. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant is an adjective. And remember that the word abundant modifies the already rich and full life of the word zoe. That was the quality of life. And it makes it more. It takes that life that was already rich and satisfying, and emphasizes it, exaggerates it, makes it more. It's like this big flashing light saying, hey, don't miss this. The gospel is about you experiencing and living the life of the future of the kingdom of God right now in the present. There is so much in the Bible teaching us about this abundance, about this plenty that's offered. Teaching us that the gospel, the good news, is about life now. John 4:14. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And John is grounded in the view of eternal life that is about the life of the future, meeting, starting in the present. He's so passionate that people will understand and drink these waters and eat of that feast right now. He says more about it. John 6:35. He says, he came to satisfy the world's spiritual hunger and thirst. And he says that Jesus' words are life right now. He says Jesus is the living bread who gives life. He's living water. He gives life. There's this connection between the present life and the future life, and the two are linked together. You guys notice this connection with food and drink and true satisfaction? It's there, right? You can't miss it. Because the Christian life is a life of richness and fulfillment, and it's an invitation to a feast that starts now and only gets better. Abundant life starts when we decide to follow Jesus. You know what this amounts to? It means that Christian life, eternal life, is life to the max. To the max. It means that it's like a luau, that there is this abundance of goodness. It's overflowing with blessing. It's so good that it spills over the edges. There's not enough room on the plate. Now, would you believe it? I happen to have a Hawaiian Bible with me. Would you believe it? It's like it just happens to be here. It's It's called the Pidgin English Bible, Da Jesus Book. It's a New Testament. And I want to read to you John 3:16 in Da Jesus Book. God won get so plenty love and aloha for the people inside the world that he went and sent me, his one and only boy, so that everybody that trusts me no get cut off from God, but get the real kind of life that stayed at a max forever. Life to the max forever. That's what eternity looks like. It starts now. It's about abundant life. Eternal eternity, eternal life starts the moment you decide to follow Jesus. And it's about life to the max forever. Life to the max looks like this. It's living with a passion for the life of the kingdom of God in the present. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be rich. It doesn't mean no suffering. It doesn't mean that no bad things will ever happen to you, but it fills you with hope. It fills you with the fruits of the Spirit. More food imagery. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. It fills you up like a good feast. And as disciples of Jesus, this means that when we share our faith, we share our life. We share a faith grounded in today, not only in tomorrow. It's a faith of hope for the future lived out in the present. It's a faith of freedom to those who are in bondage. It's a faith of satisfaction to the hungry. It's a faith of mercy to the hurting. Are you hungry? It's feast time.